Welcome back to Changing Lives. We are changing lives with, you guessed it, the Word of God. I'm excited for you to be tuned in during this episode. The episode before, we talked about in the meantime. And I'm going to connect to that particular message because there's so much that we can get out of it. So this time, we're going to be talking about working the middle. Okay, what's the difference? Okay, in the meantime, yeah, it's that time and space between seed time and harvest. It's that time. But how many know that it's not a dormant time? It shouldn't be. And so we're going to talk about what does it mean to work the middle? Okay, and just right off the bat, that work is not work in your own flesh, okay? But it's really work according to what God tells us to do, okay? And so if we just a little bit, just reflect back on the previous podcast, if you haven't listened to that, go back because it will definitely set the stage for more of what I'm going to share with you doing this podcast. And so we talked about Jesus and his wilderness experience. That was like a in the meantime, because Jesus, we know that his whole purpose from being manifested, coming to the earth realm was to, you know, fulfill the will of the Father. So his whole life was already set up. He already knew his call. He knew his identity. But guess what? He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the one who redeemed us from every single thing that we've ever have dealt with or ever will deal with. He had to be acquainted with our emotions, our intellect, our will. He had to be able to be tested in all of those areas. So Jesus himself had to go through a period of time where he had to deal with some things before he really operated and flowed in his authentic ministry of really being here on earth. And so, so we talked about that. We talked about his wilderness experience and how it showed, he showed us the right way to deal with wilderness experiences, as opposed to if we go back to the example of the Israelites and their wilderness experience after coming from out of Egypt on their way to the promised land, there was a wilderness that they had to deal with. And it took them 40 years, which was actually a 40-day journey. And so there's a lot that we can learn from Jesus and how he really protected his identity. He knew who the Father was, and he stayed true to the Father. He stayed true to the Word, and he put the enemy in its place. And so that's what we ought to be doing if we're ever in a position where we're experiencing wilderness. We looked at David. David was also another example of, you know, a human being that actually dealt with real life things. I mean, he was anointed as king and at 16, but didn't really begin to flow in the actual role of being king and reigning until about 15 years later. And so what happened? He was running from Saul as one, the crazy king that was already in position. He was running from him. But there was a lot of things that David went through in that process. And we saw different examples of how he stayed true to God. Yes, he was tempted. He was tempted to lose his mind. He talked about, you know, his soul being cast down, but yet he resorted to trusting God and depending on God through it all. Didn't make sense, but he still trusted God. And so I encouraged, you know, those who were listening to go back and meditate it and see the example and see how we can infiltrate the model of how to deal with wilderness experiences. And so during this podcast, we're going to talk about working the middle. And working the middle, the scripture that comes to my mind first is Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, where it talks about making the most of every opportunity. And so it reads in the 16th verse, make the very most, and this is the Amplified, make the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. And then the 17th verse says this, therefore do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And when you you know, in the King James Version, it actually talks about redeeming the time. So that's really what it's synonymous to making the most of every opportunity. And so when we redeem the time, what we're doing is we're capitalizing on every appropriate opportunity that comes our way. Appropriate. And what I mean by appropriate is really God-willed opportunity, not just opportunities, because really when you look at it, there are opportunities to do so many things and that we can come across all throughout our lives. But we want the opportunities that God has presented to us, those opportunities that will require us to trust Him. Sometimes it will even require us to stand in a level of faith and a level of waiting and trusting in Him. But nonetheless, we recognize what time it really is. It is connected to God's timing, and whatever God wants to do, you're positioning yourself to make the most of where you are. Maybe you're in a job that it's like, this is not my ideal job. I don't even want to be here, right? Maybe you're feeling that way. But you can make the most of every opportunity by working the middle while you're at that job, because more than likely it's probably helping to put food on your table, right? Put money in your pocket. It's not ideally where you want to. Maybe it's not even anything dealing with your call. But the opportunity is this. You have so many opportunities to be a witness on that job. You have so many opportunities to develop yourself and gain skill and integrity beyond anything, opportunity to witness and to win souls for the kingdom. Those are opportunities that are appropriate opportunities for us to make our lives worth living and worthwhile, and make it worth going to a job, getting up early in the morning, going to a job you don't really want to be there for the rest of your life. I think many of us have experienced certain degrees where we've been in places where we really don't want to be. Maybe you have had to associate with people that you don't necessarily feel comfortable with, but there's an opportunity for you to grow in that. Growing, whether it's learning to love someone that's different than you, or learning to help somebody that, you know, may be a little tough trying to help them, but God is pressing your heart to use this as an opportunity to be a witness. And so sometimes our witness can be in our serving that which we, which may not be the easiest thing to do, may not be fun to serve, but yet you're serving because you know it's going to produce a reward that God will be pleased with. It will honor God, right? It's not selfish motives. You know, you're not saying, forget this. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Let somebody else, you know, do whatever. But yet you're putting yourself in a position where it may even make you suffer in the flesh a little bit, you know? And so all suffering is not bad. The godly kind of suffering, that the kind of suffering that causes you to have to bite your tongue, to have to hold your peace, to have to manage your emotions and practice self-control, that's a godly type of suffering where it causes you to grip yourself and put yourself in check until your change comes. Come on now. We can shout right there, because we know that a change will come when we put our trust in God. And so when we make the most of every opportunity, there are always opportunities to get closer to God. Always. There's always opportunities for us to humble ourselves and sometimes put ourselves in the position to be mentored or to be taught by somebody who we may not want to be taught by, but they present an opportunity for you to gain something that you don't have. There's always opportunity to study, to show yourself approved, to grow, to mature. You know, I'm a proponent of being a lifelong learner. You know, you don't ever stop learning, because, you know, God created us to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And in order to do that, there's some things you're going to have to learn, because you can best believe there's something on that next level of faith and that next level of glory that you don't know. And what you have to do is in that working that middle, you gain what you need for that next level. Come on now. All right. And so, you know, we have the opportunity that according to Matthew 6:33, to be able to seek his kingdom first. You know, sometimes we'll convince ourselves, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I can't do this. I'm not capable of this. But we disqualify ourselves too quickly because God will always give us an opportunity to seek first the kingdom. We just have to make a conscious decision by prioritizing what is most important, and I'll do what God wants me to do. And when I do what he wants me to do, come on, if you know Matthew 6:33, you know he's going to bring you the rest, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing what he does, what he wants to be done. And then what? All these things. What things? You name it. All these things will be added to you if you do it in the proper order. But the important thing is this, that when you recognize that there's always opportunities, our apostle has been admonishing us that we don't just get up in the morning and we already have a litany or a to-do list of things that we just going to jump in and do. We're just going to do because this arises and we need to handle this and handle that. No, our lives are not our own. God wants us to be in a position where we really say what we mean what we say when we say in him we live and we move and we have our being. That means when we wake up in the morning, we don't decide what we're going to do. We ask God, God, what is your plan for my life? And not only to ask him, because you know he's going to tell you, but to be obedient to follow that plan. That's making the most of every opportunity, because that's a God opportunity all day long. When you ask God, what is it that you have for me to do today? And God's going to lay it out and he's going to show you, here, I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to handle this. I want you to do this for this person. I want you to do this in this order. I don't want you to go there today. He will give us instructions line per line, precept upon precept, example upon example, when we really yield ourselves to him to want to do his plan. Jeremiah 29:11. Come on, we know it. There's an expected end that he has for us. And more so than us wanting what we want to come to pass, we ought to want the expected end that God has planned for us. God, what are you dreaming of for me? I want that to come to pass. God, what's your plan for my life in this job that I'm at right now that I really don't want to be here? But what's your plan, God? God, what's your plan for me working with this person that's difficult and hard? God, what's your plan for my marriage? What's your plan for the call that you placed on my life? Come on now. I want God's expected end to come to pass. I want his thoughts to come to fruition in my life. I want his dreams to come to fruition in my life. I want everything that God is thinking, planning, dreaming to come to pass in my life. How about you? Come on now. And so that is a part of working the middle, is when you realize my life is not my own. So I'm going to put my trust in a God who knows everything there is about me. And if he knows everything there is to know about me, then certainly he knows what is to come. He knows which direction I need to go. He knows what's fitting in his plan. Glory to God. And so as we're working the middle, you know, we got to think about, you know, oftentimes when we're in the middle, meaning there's a seed that's been planted to do something, or maybe we set goals out. Maybe, you know, you even pray, God, you know, what's some goals that I can, you know, reach for. And God laid it on your heart. These are goals. These are things I want you to reach for. But how many know it's not going to happen overnight? How many know it's going, that time that I talked about, it's going to require you waiting. It's going to require you being patient. And let me tell you, the difference between being patient and waiting, there's a difference, because there is a waiting that is godly waiting. And then there's a waiting that's just, it's your physical flesh disallowing space to lapse. But you're not really doing anything in faith. You're not really making the most of the opportunity of what you're doing now. You're not growing. You're not increasing. You're not positioning yourself to be in that place where God can make that shift for that harvest or for that manifestation of what he has for your life. Okay. And so, but when you patiently wait, it means you are trusting in God that in this time, in this moment where time is lapsing, that it's a productive time. Come on, it's almost like an oxymoron where you're saying, you know, wait, which oftentimes people think that means stop, do nothing. But to do it patiently is another thing. To do it because you know, okay, I'm trusting in you, God, and you're going to show me what I do during this meantime, right? And so it's not a dormant waiting. It's not a, workless waiting. There is a developmental waiting, waiting for the next manifestation, not waiting for God to, hit you over the head and say, look, you need to be seeking my face. There's things, there's opportunities that we know that already are given that we should seize those opportunities. So when we look at patience, there is a work that patience does in us. And so I'm talking about that patiently waiting, not just waiting, not just letting time lapse, but patiently waiting. And there's a work that happens in us. And I want to challenge you to evaluate where you are. If you're in that time or meantime or space where you're working the middle until your manifestation, where is patience in there? Are you patiently waiting? And so when we look at that, I look at a scripture that's out of James, the first chapter, and many of us are familiar with it, but I'm going to touch bases on that because there's so much and how it lays out what patience does. Okay. So James, the first chapter, the second verse says, my brethren, count it all joy. He starts out right away when you fall into various trials, because believe me, when you're in that middle, when you're working the middle, it's going to be some trials. It's going to test you. It's going to test your level of patience. It's going to test your level of self-control. It's going to test your love walk. It's going to test your commitment to God. It's going to test your ability to be able to persevere in conditions and situations where they're not favorable with you, but you're learning how to wait on God. You're learning how to stick it in there, not give up and not give way to whatever the trial may be. So there's going to be a trial, okay? Says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into those various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, come on, you knew it was a test, testing of your faith produces what? Patience, okay? So in that meantime, in that working the middle, patience has a work that is going to begin. And that starts in the fourth verse. It says, but let patience have its perfect work. There's a perfect work. There is some precise things that patience is going to do in your life. Here it is that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking anything. It says nothing. And it says, goes on to say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so when you look at this particular scripture, it's letting us know that you're going to be tested. You're going to have trials. And in that trial, there's a test of your faith. And that faith test will produce the patience that will actually perfect you, that will actually fine-tune your character, that will actually help you in your level of integrity. It will help you in your level of trust. Come on, where are you at? Where are we at in our trust level when things don't go our way, when we feel like time is running out and I need God to move now? Where are we at in our trust level? Where are we at with our level of patience to wait on God and not try to make something happen because we're feeling a little anxious that things aren't going to pan out the way that they should? And so, but patience will have its perfect work in you. It produces a fine-tuned level of purpose where you will be more locked into what life is all about. You know, not being selfish, not wanting to get your way, not throwing temper tantrums, right? Not giving up, not being cowardly, but being courageous and sticking things out, okay, to the end until you see manifestation, right? Not losing heart, not losing hope, okay? And so patience will help you to develop your faith. It will help you to develop your hope and trust in God. Oh, and when you have hope, that means you're looking for something to happen, right? You realize my hope is in God and God will not fail me. God will not let me down. He's going to come through for me. It may not be, come on, when I want it, but how many know he's always on time because it is his timing that matters and that will come to pass, right? And so in our patience, through that period of time of working the middle, we see God at work. We see God making us a better person. We become stronger. Of course, we increase in our faith, but the plan that God has for us becomes more in focus. And the things that matter become more of a priority in our lives. And so let's talk a little bit about waiting, because patience and waiting go hand in hand, but not just a, time-lapsing waiting, okay? So first of all, waiting on God is not a waste of time. It's never waste of time. God doesn't waste time at all. You know, he's not in time, but he doesn't waste the time that that he presents in our lives. He sets up seasons and times and things like that to do a work in us. So it's never waste. He always has something that he has purpose and plan to come to fruition in our lives. So waiting is never waste of time. Waiting, as I've been saying, is not sitting or waiting and doing nothing, okay? And it's not even, when we're waiting on God, we use the word tarry. And that tarry word means that it's going to be some time, okay? But that's no excuse for us not to do God's work and building up his kingdom. Because sometimes we feel like if I'm not doing this exact thing, then I'm not going to do anything. Who are you to decide how God is going to use you, right? And so we can't be so narrow-minded to think, well, God is going to use me this way. And if he doesn't use me this way, I'm not going to. Look, if God, God has gifted me to sing, or God has gifted me to dance, or God has gifted me to write or do this. If he doesn't use me in that, then I'm not going to do anything in his kingdom. Come on, you need to deal with that one. You need to deal with that, because God will, again, he's sovereign. You know, and if we yield to him, we'll find out that he will use the foolish things to confound the wise. You know, we think we're wise. Oh, I got this education. I learned how to do this. And so certainly God is going to use me in that particular thing. Yeah, he may. I think about how, you know, I knew it was God's will to send me to James Madison University. And I ended up going the career course of computer science. And I love computers. I love technology. I love all those things, but I'm not necessarily operating and flowing in that field now. Certainly I've gained some things when I went to school and learned. I mean, I really developed my relationship with God and, and other Christians that, fellowship and that held me accountable for my walk in the Lord. I met my husband there, met lifelong friends, so there's a lot that I gained and still am learning what I gained, learned about leadership, learned about administration, all those different things, but I'm not necessarily doing what I thought I would be doing now. Okay. And it just goes to show that when you yield your life to God, it wasn't waste of time. Okay. But God will do what he wants to do because it's all fitting in his plan. And so it would behoove us to yield to him. God, what is it that you want to do with my life? What career path do you want me to take? You know, it's not always about what we want. And oftentimes we find out that as we yield to God, he will fine tune us even more. Cause I believe that if he would have told me, okay, I'm going to send you, you're going to be a co-pastor and you're going to do all these different things that I'm doing now, I probably would have said no. But he went in a way that was permissive, wasn't his perfect will, but was permissive. And he worked all things out together for my good as I began to go through levels of developing and trusting and learning how to be obedient to him. He was patient with me and he worked in me, you know, the will to do for his good pleasure. That's in Philippians, the second chapter. I love that verse. So we're talking about waiting, right? And so, So what it is exercising confidence in God's timing. And it helps us during those different difficult times, during those wilderness times, during those times of testing, through those times where it seems like, okay, I've been waiting and I've been waiting some more and I'm still waiting. Okay. And so, you know, because sometimes we feel like, okay, well, I'll go through a certain level of waiting, but come on, God, how much longer do I have to wait? Maybe there's some things that he's still trying to work in you. Maybe there's a level of stubbornness in you that he hasn't quite been allowed to tweak in you in order to get you to that place where the waiting is over. That's a question, something to think about, right? So I've heard it said this way, hope deferred is not hope denied. So that means, you know, you're hoping that this will happen, your hope, because, you know, when we connect it with our faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you got to start with hope because that gives you that inkling that I can put my trust in something and you're leaning towards the possibilities, you know, the belief that things can happen. But now you apply your faith and you begin to lock in and say, I believe it actually can happen. I'm not just hoping and wishing. Now I'm believing that it can happen, but it starts out with hope. But when your hope seems like, even what you hope for doesn't seem like it's happening, it's deferred, but it doesn't mean it's denied. Okay. And so, again, it's all connected to God's timing. Okay. So patience is, it's the hardest when we need it the most, right? And that's how you know that that patience really has its perfect work is in those hardest times when patience needs to actually flow. That's when you can be really, truly refined and be able to meet your goal. A few scriptures that talk about waiting. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It is worth waiting on the Lord. Why? Because you do it his way. The eagles, when I think of the eagle, I think of one of the most majestic, most powerful birds I know about on earth, and just the power that's in that, what it represents, the regalness, the royalty, the level being on just the highest level. You know, that's what an eagle represents. And God's word says that when we wait on him, he's going to strengthen us to the point where we'll be like eagles. Come on. Some of us been flapping like chickens. You already know that, right? Okay. Come on. We are eagles, but the way that we are able to flow in, soar like eagles is that our trust and our waiting is on God for him to lay out his plan and to do it the way he wants to do it. Glory to God. Psalms 27:14 continues on to say, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So it goes to show again, you know, in our waiting, when we have courage, trust, hope, dependency in God, then he strengthens our heart because you can lose heart. The word says that we can grow weary in well-doing. Come on. Oftentimes when it's well-doing, it requires waiting. It requires time and space. And it can wear on you when you don't see manifestation, especially when you see others around you that are manifesting here and you're seeing they're flourishing and they're reaping their harvest and all these different things are going on around you. It's like, okay, God, did you forget about me? And God is saying to you, no, girl, no, man of God, I haven't forgotten about you. Strengthen your heart in me. Allow me to strengthen you. Get your courage in me, not in man's timeline, not in what the crowd is doing. Put your hope and your strength, in your faith and your courage in me, that I will do what I said I will do in your life. Waiting on God, he gives hope. Chapter's 130, with the verse is 5, says, expectantly wait. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word, I do hope. Come on, it's your soul. Your spirit man already knows. Chill. Just chill out. Just work the word. But it's your soul that deals with your emotions, that deals with, you know, your intellect, that deals with, you know, your imagination and deals with your thoughts. It's your soul that has to learn how to wait on God. Hallelujah. So it behooves us to saturate our souls, our thoughts, our will, our intellect, our emotions with the truth of the word of God. When we are tested in those moments where we feel like we're losing hope or we're losing faith, God will give us the hope that we need. Where is it at? In his word. Waiting for God, he gives rest. Psalms 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Come on. When you're able to rest, that means you're not losing sleep over what's not working, what is going on with somebody else and why it's not working with you. You're resting because you're trusting in God. It's a heightened level of trusting God, that God has got you. He's going to take care of you. You know, sometimes, you know, when we allow weariness and worry to set in, is when we're not resting in the fact that God is my source. We're not resting in the fact that God is my strength. God's going to come through for me. God is my protection. God is my shield. He's my exceeding great reward, as the word of God says in Genesis. Come on now. And so if you're not in a place of rest, I'm not necessarily talking about physical rest, but it can be connected and it can go hand in hand. But I'm talking about that spiritual rest, that refreshing in your soul when everything may not necessarily be lined up. You may not have everything that you wanted at the time, or things didn't come through for you right when you expected it. But there's a rest in your spirit to know God's going to come through. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. That's where I'm encouraging you to get to that place. And you say, well, how do I get to that place? Well, certainly you got to keep the truth before you, and you got to keep reminding that soulish part of you who your God is. I heard somebody say this, you know, when the enemy tests you with certain things, you got to go back to remember what he did in times past. You can't forget that he brought you out the last time. You got to remember that he pulled you through in that difficult spot the last time. You got to remember that you were in a time and space and season the last time where you had to wait on him. And when you waited on him, he came through. Come on. The Lamentations talks about, I call to my mind, calls to remembrance. Hallelujah. And therefore I have hope. And I have confidence in him. So you got to remember, waiting on God, he acts on our behalf. Are you waiting for God? He acts on our behalf as we wait for him. Since ancient times, no one has heard. This is Isaiah 64:4. No ear has perceived, no eyes have seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Come on now. That's a promise you can take to the bank and cash in on it. God will come through for you. When you wait on him, it's not going to be in vain. It's not going to be wasted. He's going to come through. And when God comes through, it's never how we imagine. It is always beyond. Come on. Ephesians 3:20. It's always beyond what we ask or think or even imagine. Glory to God. So there's so many things that God does for us in our waiting. And so I just want to encourage you to, you know, as we been talking about, you know, working the middle. What do you do in the meantime? All of us have to come go through those seasons of our lives. Those seasons will come and those seasons will go. But you can best believe if you're in that season where everything is just, in order to get to that next level, you're going to have a testing. You're going to have a season where God's going to pull you back and say, I need to pull some more things in you because the next level is going to present, you know, greater things that you need to be able to handle. And so never forget that God answers come in his timing, okay? His timing. Remember what our apostle said. Our apostle said that God does not govern his life and what he does by time, okay? But it is by timing, which means God knows in his infinite wisdom when's the best time for him to do whatever he's going to do in our lives. Will you trust God during this season of working the middle? I know this podcast has been a blessing to you. You need to share this with somebody else because somebody, I guarantee you that you know, is dealing with that middle, struggling. You can be a blessing to them by sharing this podcast with them. God bless you.